We are turning this week's Parsha to Parshas Tazria Metzora. We'll continue in discussing Halacha from the Parsha as we always do. And we're also, unfortunately, we are still able to tie it in to current events as well. The Pasuk says, Kol Yimei Asher HaNega Bo. All the days that the Metzora has the Tzaras with him, Yitama Tamehu, he'll be Tamei, Badad Yoshev, he sits alone, Michutz Lamachna Moshevo, he'll sit outside of the camp. There's a fascinating medrash in the Parshan Vika Rabbin Perak Tazayin, and the medrash says, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan ben Shimon ben Lakish have a machlokus. Rabbi Yochanan ben Rabbi Yochanan says, Asur Leilech ben Mizracho Shal Metzora, Arba Amos. It's Asur to go within 4 Amos of a Metzora. Rabbi Shimon Amar, Afilu Mea Amma, even 100 Amma. Velo Pligi, there's no machlokus. Manda Amar Dal Amos, Bishash Ein Ruach Yotze, 4 Amos if the wind is not blowing, and will not, I guess, carry the tzaras to somebody else. The one who says you must stay 100 amos away from a metzora understands that is when the wind is blowing. Rabbi Meir, lo achel by mevuah metzora, he would not let people go by. Ravami Ravasi, lo have ailam levuah shal metzora, would not go into the streets where a metzora was. Reish Lakish also had his own ways he would separate from the person with tzaras. Now, we generally understand Saras to be a supernatural punishment, but at the same time, we see Kama Vakama, many, many sources within Chazal, within the Rishonim, that in fact, Saras is a natural illness as well. Therefore, there was the possibility, apparently, of transferring germs and infection by coming close to the Metzora. And therefore, that's why, understands the Medrash, the Metzora was Badad Yeshev. The Metzora sat alone because of fear of infection, of transferring contagions and different things to people near them. And we find the source so all the way earlier in Chazal, before we have the advent of modern medicine, there was still an understanding of the world that when you were near a person who was ill, that illness would spread to other people. The Meshech Chachma says as much in this week's Parsha. You can look in Vayikra Perek Yud Gimel. In Pasuk Beis, a beautiful Meshech Chachma. All the Meshech Chachmas are beautiful, but this is a particularly very nice Meshech Chachma. He understands that the Tzaras was contagious. And for this reason, the Metzora would call out, Tamei, Tamei, I'm impure, stay away from me, because you might become ill from my illness. And so the people would stay away from him. And because the involvement of dealing with a Metzora carried such a great danger, that is why the Kohen was chosen. That's why Aaron and his sons were chosen to deal with the Kohanim, to deal with the Metzora, says the Meshech Chachma. Why a Kohen? Why not a Talmid Chacham? Why not somebody else? Because Aaron and his sons had special Hashgacha Pratis. They had a special level of holiness. And therefore, as the Meshech Chachma says, Hashgacha Niflam Pratios. They had a very special Hashgacha Pratis. And that's why they were given the job to deal with the person with Tzaras, because they would be protected from the danger because of their high level of Kedusha. You need someone with an extra Shmira, an extra protection who will be less susceptible to the contagion. And therefore, the Kohanim and the Bnei Aaron were chosen to examine the Tzaras. This leads to our question. Right now, we are all following medical protocol, and nobody, under any circumstances, should be davening with a minyan, with other people. That is clear directive from your Rabbanim, and our poskim, and medical officials as well, that we do not daven together, but Tzibor, as long as the conditions are the way they are. Now, either before this time, or even after this time, or even after this whole episode is done, a person comes into shul, and you know that this person, you know, last week had coronavirus. And this person, or you don't know the person has coronavirus, so the person looks uncomfortable, and they're sneezing, and they're coughing, and they walk into shul. Are they allowed to come to shul? Is that allowed on their part? And if they're not allowed, are you allowed to kick them out? Does the tzibur have the right to tell that individual who's coming to shul, you can't daven here, you're sick, you have an illness, we don't want to get sick as well, please go somewhere else, or go please stand by yourself, stay away from us, but don't stand near anybody to get them sick. Does the tzibur have the right to keep somebody from coming to shul if they seem to be carrying a virus, the coronavirus, or any other disease that would be contagious? Or sending a kid to school. Can you send a kid to school? Your kid has strep throat. your kid has the flu, whatever it is, can you fill them up with a number enough of ibuprofen and send them off to school and hope everything for the best? Is that allowed? So all of the poskim turn to one shuva, and really the Rosh HaMadabrim, the first person to speak about this at length, is Rav Chaim Palagi, the great Rav in Izmir, Turkey, in his Nishmas Kol Chayin Chosin Mishpat in Simen Memtes. It is the last tshuva in the Sefer. Even if I had a Mar Makomo sheet with the tshuva, you still wouldn't be able to read it because the print is so old and so distorted that you'll have to trust me as the relayer of the information, reading through the very impossible words to read. And it has not been reprinted in a very long time. But let me tell you what Rav Chaim Palagi is writing about. He discusses the case of a doctor who is dealing with an infectious patient during a plague. And he came to shul and he was told by the gabbai that he can't come to shul because of his exposure to the plague. This should sound familiar. And Rav Chaim Palagi explains that even though the doctor can place himself in danger to help others, he doesn't have the right to make others ill because there's much more of an achrayus, a responsibility to keep those people safe. Yet, this leads to the question, well, who must stay away? Can he say, well, I want to come to shul. If you don't want to stand near me, so go somewhere else. And they can say to him, no, we want to come to shul. You're the mazik. You're the one who's causing the potential damage. You should stay away from us. Who has the other upper hand? The mazik, the one who could cause damage, or the nizak, the one who could potentially prevent the damage by staying away? Rav Chaim Palagi gives three examples to prove his point, and we'll go through all three cases right now. The first is the Gemara Bava Kamma on Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, which tells us there were these goats that belonged to the family of Tarbu, the Tarbu family, and they would frequently damage the property of Rav Yosef. And Rav Yosef said to his Talmud Abaye, go and tell the owners, the Tarbu family, that they must keep their goats enclosed on their own property and keep them away from me. So Abaye said to Rav Yosef, well, do I have to go? If I go and tell them this message that they should keep the goats away, they're going to tell me, you put a fence around your goats, you know, so they don't go into your property. That's not the issue over here. Why should I have to protect myself against, why should I have to protect my goat? You put a fence around your property, make sure they don't go there. Okay? So Tosis there says the halacha is like Rav Yosef without question. The person who has the potential object who can damage must protect it. And Abaye knew that, but Abaye didn't want to go because he didn't want to get involved in a fight. He was very shy, and he didn't want to start up with his family, so he said, maybe you take care of it, so I don't have to go. Fine. Based on this, Nishmas Kol Chai says that the doctor is a mazik. The doctor is the one potentially causing the damage because of the infection. And therefore, the shul has the right to refuse entry to this person who carries the infection. And if they want, he says, they can set up a mechitza around him in shul. There'll be a mechitza in the Esras Anashim. They'll put a fence around him to not spread the infection. And that should be fine if that situation would call for it. That is proof number one. The second proof is the Mishnah in Nagayim in Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Yud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Nichnas lebeis haknesses, a Metzora comes to Shul. How did this happen? Not clear how Metzora came to Shul. He has to be Badad, he has to be alone. But for the sake of our shir tonight, let's assume for a moment the Metzora came to Shul. O sin lo mechitza gavoa asara tfachim al rochav arba amos, make a mechitza that's 10 tfachim high, 4 amos wide. Nichnas Rishon Yotzei Achron. He goes into shul first. Nobody has to see him. He leaves shul last. Nobody has to see him. Comes the Trumas Hadeshin. The Trumas Hadeshin has two svarim. One is the Tshuvos. That is famously the Tshuvos in which he wrote the 359 Tshuvos Gematria Hadeshin, Trumas Hadeshin. We know the Trumas Hadeshin did not actually get any questions. He made up all the questions so he could write his Tshuvos. This is not from that book. This is from the Sefer HaPsakim. Different pieces that he wrote in different areas of halacha, but not the first Sefer. This is in Psak Tzadi Hei 95. And there, he says the purpose of this mechitza is our concern that the Metzora will be metame those in shul, he'll make them tame. A Metzora is metame ba'ol. If you and a Metzora are in the same room, you will become tame, and he can make everybody else there tame as well. And a Metzora is a chiyuv to put up a mechitza that can stop the tumas ohel, which works by Metzora. This is only a chiddush by tsaras. A Metzora can put up a fence that a mechitza that can block the tumah from extending into the rest of the room. That does not work by a mace. Don't try this in the case of a mace. It doesn't work. It's only by a metzora. Based on this, says Reb Chaim Palashi, that where there's an issue of being a mazik, and the metzora could bring tumah and hurt other people, we force the contagious person to put a covering around themselves to protect the rest of the shul. That is sugya number 2. 3. The Bach. The Bach in Yerodei, Rav Yoel Sirkis, writes in Yerodei in Simen Shinayin Alf, and he cites the tshuvas of the Maharil in Simen Samechei. Many, many sources from Gedolei Poskei Ashkenaz tonight. The question was asked about a few families who lived in the same house. One of the families were Kohanim. I don't exactly know how the house was built, but essentially it was a multi-family dwelling, a multi-group dwelling in a single structure. In one of the other families, someone had died, and the Kohanim wanted to force the family of the deceased to remove the body from the house so they could go back into their home. Understand, right? In my house is a dead body. It's not my dead body. It's not a relative of mine, and I'm a Kohen. I need the body out so I can go into my house. So the Maharil says that it's normal to leave a mace in the house before the kvura. That is the minhag. The minhag was that the body stays in the house until the time of burial. And therefore, you cannot go against the minhag, and you cannot force the family to undo the minhag of keeping the body in the house, and therefore you cannot force them to take the mace out of the house because the Kohanim want to go in. Fine. That's the tshuva of the Maharil. Says the Bach, if the mace, however, is a nefel, the mace is a stillborn child, Rachmana Litzlan, there's no din of kavod hamace. All of the halachos, many of the halachos of kavod hamace, do not apply to a nefel, to a stillborn child. It doesn't mean we don't bury, we do, but many of the minhagim and the customs of kavod hamace are not applicable in that case. In that case, he says, we can have the family of the nefel, of the stillborn child, remove the body from the house. Because the nefel is bringing tumah. The nefel is bringing that impurity into the home and being mazik, essentially bringing a space that is dangerous for the Kohanim to enter. And the mazik has to be removed. Because there's no prior existing minhag of what to do with the nefel, or what to do with the stillborn, therefore, we don't have to allow that nefel to override the ability of the Kohanim to enter their home. That is the psak of the Bach. The Bach had a very famous son-in-law, and that is the Taz, Rav David Segel, Rav David Alevi Segel, the author of the Turei Zahav. And there in Shulchan Aruch and Simen Shinayin Aleph and Sifkat and Yud Aleph, you can see over there, he says, I disagree. I don't see a difference between the two cases. He argues with his father-in-law, not the first time. We only say, not the first time he argued with his father-in-law, not the first time a son-in-law argued with his father-in-law. He says, we only say that the mazik must be removed, the damaging factor has to be removed when the damager is doing an action, a maisa. However, a mace, the dead body isn't doing anything. It's dead. It's not doing a maisa, it's not doing an action. And therefore, it never has to be removed. What's the source? The Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat and Simen Kuf Nun Hei. There at the end of the Siman in Sif Lamed Beis, the Shulchan Aruch writes that if you have a tree, and your neighbor has a pit, and the owner of the pit wants you to move your tree. Why? Because the roots of your tree are growing into his pit and getting in the way. The halacha is that the owner of the pit cannot force you to move that tree if the roots are going to his pit. The reason is that the hezek, the damage, is happening memela, it's happening on its own. Passively, the tree is growing roots. The tree is not doing anything actively to hurt you. The tree naturally does this. You didn't do anything active with a maisa. It's happening on its own. And it's not being done with an action other than the tree growing by itself. And therefore, it says the Taz, what's the difference? A body is a body is a body. The body is not doing any damage. And therefore, no body, whether it's a nefel or an adult, would ever have to be removed from a house in the case of the Kohanim wanting to enter. The Taz had a frequent bar plugta, a frequent person who disagreed with him. Now is the younger Shach, Rav Shabtai Cohen. And the Shach, in his Nekudas HaKesef, which is his major work in which he attacks the Taz where he disagrees with him, he notes that we only say that we don't make a person remove a hezek, a damage, when it will cause him a hefsed, meaning it will cause me a loss to remove that thing that's causing you damage. I'm removing the tree. If I remove the tree, it's going to be bad for me because I need my tree. And therefore, we don't make him remove that tree. However, in the case of a mace, in the case of a body, in the house, there's no hefsid caused by taking the body out of the house. Who cares? What's the difference if the body is in the house or the body is somewhere else? It doesn't change anything. The kfura is going to be the kfura. The family is going to be the family. It doesn't make a difference. And therefore, you should have to remove a nefel. Again, because there's no prior existing minhag in the house, that's preventing Kohan from entering. And based on this, says Reb Chaim Pelagi, we see that the doctor who's being mazik should be removed from the shul. When something is causing damage, when something is causing a contagious disease to be spread, he must remove because it is no damage to him to not come to shul. Now, these are the three proofs that Reb Chaim Pelagi brings to support the idea that the doctor must remove himself from shul and not bring the contagious disease into the shul, even in the place of the potential mitzvah of davening and tefillah b'tzibur. Not spreading a contagious disease overrides tefillah b'tzibur. It is clear in the Nishmas Kol Chai without question. Okay? Clear? Any questions up until this point? Good. Now, there is a tshuva of the Rama, and Reb Chaim Pelagi cites this tshuva of the Rama, and we have something to struggle with over here when explaining the Rama. The Rama writes in a tshuva in Simen Chaf, and he discusses a person who rented a home, and before he moved in, his wife got a disease. It's not clear what the disease was. Something could be yellow fever, as it was described in the Rama's language. Could be, obviously without racist tones, because the Rama did not know anything about China. Could be hepatitis, whatever it was that happened, some sort of disease that the woman had. The landlord found out that the potential new person coming into his house had this contagious disease. And he canceled the rental because he didn't want hepatitis in his house. So the Rama is a long tshuva, a big din about what to do in this case. But who's right and who's wrong? He says that the landlord is wrong and the renters can take the house. The Rama argues at the end that this is not enough of an ones, it's not enough of an issue to be a problem that would nullify the rental agreement. And he concludes as follows. He says, it is only Hashem who controls who gets sick. And there is no such thing as a contagious disease canceling something. It doesn't exist, he says. Because if the renter was correct, says the Rama, we would never ever have Bikur Cholim. Because people would claim that I can't be Mevakir Cholim, I can't visit the sick, because I may get sick, I may be contagious, I can't do this mitzvah. We never find that I can't do a mitzvah because of a contagious disease, a choli hamistabekes, a choli, an illness that will attach itself to you. And what is the proof? The Gemara in Ksuvas Daf Ayin Zayin says that only Saras, or what the Gemara refers to as Ra'asan, carries a heter of not doing Bikur Cholim because of its contagious nature. But only Saras, says the Rama. Nothing else. And the renter in this case is just succumbing to fear-mongering. I'll read you the language of the Rama. The Rama says as follows. The Rama says, he says, Kimash Omer Shu Choli Mistabek Kulo Hevel. It's all silly. Umishalibo Nokfa Omer Kane. Only a scared person says this. Ki Hashem Yisalahu Hamochet Varefa. Hashem takes care or makes somebody illness. Vimay Gidivri Hamaskir Batal Koldine Bikur Cholim. And if the renter here would be correct, what would happen to Bikur Cholim? I can't do Bikur Cholim because I might get a contagious disease. It cannot be. And based on this Rama, it would seem that the contagious nature of Saras should not prevent a person, of a disease, should not prevent a person from entering a shul. And Reb Chaim Pelagi notes this. And the answer must be that perhaps there's a difference between a Safek and a Vadai. Maybe the case of Tumah, there's a Vadai. In a case of a Choli, maybe it is a basic, it's only a suffix. But even before we get to Reb Chaim Pelagi, it's not exactly clear what the Rama holds. Because I just told you a Tshuva Sarama, where he says that there's no issue of contagious diseases. But what's the purpose of Bikur Chol? The Rishonim explain that you're supposed to go and support and provide aid and assistance to the Chola. There's no source to indicate that you have to become in a dangerous situation for that. The Yushalmi says, if you see somebody in a Vadai Sakana, a certainly dangerous situation, you can enter and put yourself in a Safik Sakana. The Sma in Simen Tavchav of the end of Choshen Mishmar argues that the Ramah holds that even somebody who is a Vadai Sakana, you don't have to put yourself in a questionable Sakana to save them. So why would the Ramah say such a thing? And the Ramah in Yeradei and Simen Kuf Tes Zayin Hei cites the Maril who says that if there's a plague in the city, you should leave because the plague is contagious. What's going on over here? The Ramah writes in the Tshuva that there's no such thing as contagious diseases, and don't be a scaredy cat. And now the Ramah is saying if there's a plague in your city, you have to run away. What's going on over here? Clearly the Ramah does understand the concepts of a contagious disease. I'll give you another question against the Ramah. In 1556, there was a plague in Krakow, and the minhag during a plague was for everybody to leave the city. And fleeing the city was not uncommon. Krakow had three plagues in the span of 15 years. 1543, 1551, and 1556. Entire families with five or seven people were wiped out. And during this period, 2,000 Jews lived in Krakow. And the family of the Ramah fled to the city of Shidlov, and he had nothing to send his father for Mishloach Manos that year, so he wrote his commentary on Megillas Esther called the Mechir Yayin. That all happened because the Ramah fled a city, because of a plague. So what's the Ramah talking about? So we'll give two answers very quickly. The first is Rav Moshe Yerushalmiski, in his Tshuvas Be'er Moshe, the Binyan Yerushalayim and Simen Chavtes, he cites this contradiction in the Ramah, and he explains the Ramah is not concerned about contagious diseases. However, in the Shulchan Aruch, he's talking about a plague, which is Idan Rischa, where the Midas Hadin, during a plague, it's much more difficult. The Mashkes, the Midas Hadin, is Eino Mavdil Bein Tzadik L'Sheino Tzadik. The Midas Hadin, the Mashkes, the plague, doesn't differentiate at that time. People who are innocent and righteous can be killed as well. And the same understanding of the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch is noted by the Nishmas Avram, who sees the difference between a plague and a contagious disease. The Ramah will tell you a contagious disease, there's no issue, you can stay away. But by a plague, in such a situation, you don't know what's going to happen. There's no safe place. And this is the understanding of the Nishmas Kol Chai as well, who says we cannot support the Ramah to say that the person who is ill does not have to stay away from shul because the Ramah understands the difference between a plague and somebody else. There's another suggestion brought by Rav Pinchas Zvichi in his Ataris Pazim Chela Gimel. He says the Tshuvas Ramah understands that there's no issue with contagious diseases if you're careful and you stay away. He's differentiating between going close but not too close versus being unable to not get too close as well. You can take care of the chola by doing bikur cholim if he's ill. You can daven for him, you can call him up, give him concern for his issues that are bothering him, and this is what you can do as well. The clear consensus of the poskim is not like the Ramah, and we do tell people to separate from contagious disease. Rav Chaim Palagi argues there's no chiyuv to put oneself in danger for bikur cholim. The Sefer Chasidim says you have to warn somebody before going into the same water as them if you have an infection. The Nishmas Avram on medical ethics says the same thing. The Nishmas Avram cites Rav Neuvert and the Shevet Halevi who support his position. The Tshuva Space Davar of David Leiter says it's usher to be mevaker chola in a person with a contagious disease. The Gemara in Shabbos Lamed Beis says al yamod adam b'makom sakana, don't go into a place of danger. And the Torah says the Torah never says there's a mitzvah when there's a clear sakana involved. This is the sheet of the Tiferes song Ksuvas in Perek Zion, who says it's usher for someone to take care of a contagious person. And the Tshuvas Chemdas Tzvi cites the Gemara Moi Katan, they would put markings by the graves to keep people away from Tuma. And the clear consensus of most poskim is against the Ramah that if a person has a contagious disease, there is no mitzvah of Bikur Cholim if a person could possibly contract the disease. Let's just end in the final minute. And that is our first question of, and that just clear halach lemaisa, a person with a contagious disease can be prevented from coming to shul, and the tzibur has the upper hand. This is the Shita Saposkim, first brought by Dinishmas Kolchai with Chaim Palagi. Can you keep it? You're allowed to send a child to yeshiva if he's sick with a contagious disease. So the Gemara in Ksuvos we quoted before says that Yeshua ben Levi would learn Torah with people who had Ra'asan. And he said that if the Torah is a protector and gives chayin, so certainly the Torah can give chayin and protection to those people even with saras. So some want to argue, Rav Chanan Wasserman and others want to say in the Kovid Shurim, that this is because the Torah protects them. So maybe a person will argue, you can send your kid to yeshiva, I guess at least just for the morning, not for the afternoon, because the Torah will protect everybody there and everybody will be fine as well. However, if the Nishmas Kol Chai is correct, and someone in your family is very sick or contagious, or the child is contagious, you should not send them to school. And this is supported very bekitzer by a tshuva by Ritzvi Spitz, who's a well-known dayan in Eretz Yisrael, in his Mishpatei HaTorah and Chelek Aleph and Siman Pei Zayin. And he discusses the case of a child who was diagnosed with chickenpox, and the doctor told the mother to send the kid to school, so they'll give the other kids chickenpox, and they'll get the disease better when they're younger, when they're older. Obviously, this is before 1995, when chickenpox vaccine was brought to the United States. That was before my time. I had chickenpox, gave it to all my friends. That's the way of the world. But nowadays we have the vaccine. So Rabbi Spitz writes in the Mishpatei HaTorah that it is being mazik someone to make them sick, even though it's a grama, it's still usser, even though they don't have to pay, he says, and therefore it's usser to send a child to school if you know the child is contagious and will make other children sick. And he adds that it's usser for a person who can spread a contagious disease to daven with a minyan or even go to work, he says. And he does note that if the doctor recommends a way to go out in public without spreading the disease, then it would be permitted to go into such a public area. Okay, we will conclude here, and I'll hand over the reins to Rabbi Gladstein.